In this evening's reading from the Gospel of Mark, and I confess I'm not going to touch the Hebrew scripture reading, which was very long and spoke for itself, I think, Bob. Very well done. But in this evening's reading from the Gospel of Mark, we also have a huge amount that we could take from that reading. We read a couple of intertwined stories, which, while they may not seem related except by proximity to each other and chronologically, they are examples of how we can miss something if we don't know the nuances of this text and this story, and we don't know the context of it. And so if I quickly run over the story again, I hope you'll excuse me, we can explore some of these things just briefly. And I want to here offer a shout out to Isabel Hamley, whose book Embracing Justice put a whole new spin on these verses for me, this passage. A whole new life came out when she talked of her own interpretation of this passage, some of which I am not plagiarizing, but borrowing. So Jesus is met in this story by an influential man called Jairus. His standing is shared by letting us know that he was one of the leaders of the synagogue and therefore one of the leaders of the community. His daughter is dying. He has nowhere else to turn. Whatever power or influence he has, in this case, he is powerless. And it's urgent. Jesus must come now. So he does. He goes with Jairus. And then we meet a woman who's not even named. But we know that she has known powerlessness for many years, exhausting herself and any money she had in a 12-year endeavor to stop a constant menstrual bleed. Bleeding which would have meant that she were unable to worship in the synagogue or take place in the communal rituals of her faith. It would have meant she could not be touched or touch anyone for fear of making another as ritually impure as she was. She, in sharp contrast to Jairus, has no standing, no power, no influence, and no community, not even a community of faith. She is the antithesis of Jairus. She touches Jesus, and the story tells us, is healed. And Jesus stops in the middle of a large crowd. In the middle of the clamor, Jesus stops and wants to find the woman who touched him, who received this miraculous healing. As Professor David Clines, formerly of the University of Sheffield in England, says, it could have been one of those, hallelujah, another one healed, let's get going, fellas. But then Jesus turns it around and instead stops. Despite the urgency of Jairus' pleas, despite the incredulity of the disciples who say, look how many people are here. How can we find who touched you? Jesus stops. And Jesus treats this unnamed woman as important. He gives something that she would not have experienced for a long while. Attention, connection, and affirmation. Your faith has healed you. Go in peace. In a world where she meant nothing, where she had little value, where she was invisible and, it seems, trying to be invisible, Jesus had made her seen, told her she was valued and valuable. In a world where other voices clamored for attention, where time seemed short and urgency abounded, Jesus stopped and listened. He gave his time and his attention, his compassion. This is a profoundly justice-based approach, which doesn't listen to the loudest voices or the most insistent or urgent or those who are elevated by society, important, influential. In a world which proclaimed a scarcity of time, Jesus paused, valued another as made in the image of God, and healed. He then went on to heal the little girl, again nameless. But he does this quietly, alone. And unlike the affirmation of the excluded woman in front of a crowd, Jesus tells Jairus and family not to let anyone know what has happened here. again upending the balance, not wanting to further raise up Jairus as a special case due to the healing of his daughter. Nor did Jesus want to be seen to align himself with someone influential in the religious community to gain status for himself. And this deeply justice-based reading of these two interwoven stories offer something for us to think about on this week of the National Indigenous Day of Prayer. As Jesus' followers committed to justice, to repentance for the wrongs of our institution and the wrongs of this country, we are being called to pause, to listen, to learn, and to affirm, to make time in a world that tells us we are busy, that people and land are commodities to be used, the belief instead that we are all family and that the land is Creator's gift to be cared for and not exploited is a lesson that we, settlers and those of settler descent, we who are still locked into the structures and institutions of colonialism, these are lessons we must learn. Among the First Nations, Métis and Inuit people of these lands, in their stewardship of these lands, we are called to affirm that stewardship, ongoing connection to the lands. We must hear the stories of injustice, racism, exclusion, and structural sin which has caused such deep and lasting trauma. We must encourage and support the many languages, cultures, and traditions which are seeking to be revitalized. We must seek forgiveness, give restitution, and dismantle the systems which still oppress, exclude, and devalue indigenous peoples. This must all be a part of how we as a church and as country move forward, not only in word, not only in our prayers, but in action. Jesus came from a place of compassion, justice, and healing in our stories today. He challenged the structures which said he should do things a certain way and paused to listen and learn, to heal and affirm. We must do the same. Amen.